Public service announcement. I know I've said Agricola wrong, so disregard that. Mr. Agricola is actually Mr. Agricola. Apologies to all the WASM students.
Back in the bottle.
Copy, ship off.
Okay, radio check.
Yeah, radio's working fine.
Yeah, copy off personnel.
Yeah, copy, mate.
The chair in the vent bag.
Yeah, stitcher up there. Thanks, mate.
Yeah, righto, copy that.
Righto, g'day, money miners. It's a depressing day if you're a New South Welshman or been sooking in bed and we're a bit late. Sorry. Depressing times, Trav. I know you don't want to talk rugby league on the podcast, but it has affected me and whatever. Let's get on with it then. Mining will cheer me up. 1st of June, money miners, how are you? And Travis Ricciardo, how are you?
We in June.
1st of June, mate.
Wow.
Nearly tax return season. That's two months of money of mine done. We're into month three.
Wow.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It's amazing.
We are having fun too. So, Trav, you got a new segment, Cobber?
I do. We're trying things out here while JD's away. I think we can get away with a bit more.
Yeah, I know. Especially we could probably spend more money too because we haven't got old bloody the old accountant here.
Mr. Frugal on our back.
Sorry, JD.
Yeah, but we've been a bit more experimental content-wise as well, you know. I've definitely noticed you slipping in a few more swear words than normal.
Yeah, no, I'm trialing that.
Yeah.
Definitely on Twitter.
Yeah.
The Twitter videos. Right, Trav, what do you got for us, mate?
Speaking of Twitter, mate, this segment is dedicated to the Twitter followers out there. We're gonna have a crack. We want some feedback from the money miners if they like this segment or not. If it is one that they like, then we'll consider doing it again. But we're calling it Trav's Top Tweets of the Week.
Nice, I like it. Triple T.
Yep. And I mean, like, today was a bit of a slow news day, right? So I thought it could be fun to trial out this new segment. And the thing I love about Twitter, Matty, is there's actually like a, you know, pretty good signal to noise ratio if you follow the right people on there. And I think the fact that people have a bit of pseudonymity on the platform, it clearly empowers some people to be a bit more bold than they otherwise would in the statements that they make on Twitter.
Due to defamation. That didn't work for Mr. SS, but
unfortunately we don't have the same luxury. We went down this pathway of using our real names and our real faces. Which might turn out to be a bad decision. We'll have to wait and find out. But nonetheless, I think we should, you know, because there's some interesting content out there on the platform, it's worth giving credit where credit is due for the tweets that I liked in the week just gone. And I've got a top four list here, Matty.
Take it away. Love it.
All right. So number four and number three, top tweet of the week, they tie into the same ASX announcement, and it's one that was posted on the platform today. Argosy Minerals, AGY, they report an update on their 2,000 tonne per annum lithium carbonate facility. So it's, you know, small scale, right? But the pitch is it's modular and expandable. They say that commissioning works have progressed to a semi-continuous operational status. Semi-continuous, does that mean discontinuous to you? I'm not sure.
Maybe day shift only.
Yeah. Anyway, the announcement today, they say they produced 17.5 tonnes of battery-grade lithium carbonate product to date. So at number four top tweet of the day is to Stockswami, and he's tweeted, we'll put it up on the screen, AGY update the market and proudly boast that in 2 months they have made 7.5 tonnes of LCE with a grade that is only up to 99.9%, probably spent $2 million making it. Not a word about the well-overdue EIA or an OT agreement. Are solar evaporation ponds even feasible these days?
There you go. Thank you, Mr. Swami.
That's a bit harsh, Mr. Swami. Ramp up takes time. Come on. Things go wrong. At least they're putting out these monthly updates to let everyone know how it's all progressing. You know, nonetheless.
Imagine what they're going to be doing when they're fully continuous.
Nonetheless, I do want to award top three to the same announcement. And this one is to Whippet, who says, AGY. No wonder it's taken them 6 months to produce 17 tonnes of lith. They've been too busy building the bakery and the gym. And he zooms in and highlights on the announcement a bit where the company mentioned that they've recently completed additional works on the 2,000 tonne per annum facility comprising a waste module, bakery, gym, recreation room, and a supplementary office added to the site. So they've been very busy, mate. So it's all very understandable. Turning from Sailor Lithium to Silica Sand, I'm awarding number two top tweet of the week to Chuck Chunder himself.
Oh, Chuck. I love Chuck.
this one is Carbine Resources. CRB is their ticker. They had their AGM yesterday. And there are quite a few resolutions up there on the put forward to shareholders. It appeared to have a hard time, you know, getting the approval from their shareholders. Chuck Chunda, he covered this one. He says, it seems that CRB's sudden urge to acquire a new sandpit failed to prevent the corporate bloodbath. Three directors gone in a single AGM. Where are all your mates when you really need them? Very amusing, Mr. Chunda. I hope you enjoyed the tea and biscuits there yesterday. And in number one position, Matty, with the tweet of the week, we have an issue that is very near and dear to my heart, discount rates. Remember the recap yesterday, Matty, when we spoke about the finance facility Aurelia had lined up with Trafigura to get Federation off the ground?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So Respeculator on Twitter, he's taken a screenshot of the terms of that deal, and a portion of that facility was priced at SOFR plus 6% with 120 million oppies thrown in too. So Respeculator, he says, SOFR, approximately 5% plus 6% equals 11% plus warrant kicker, so maybe 13% cost of debt. But let's keep running NPV8s, or for the Goldies, NPV5s. Clown emoji, clown emoji.
Oh, yeah, no, we know about, yes, your little view on discount rates, Trav. Yep. I thought was Sam Berridge a close one there to come into the top four? I liked his one about they have not yet met an institutional shareholder in Silver Lake that is going to vote.
He'll have to keep posting some more content and hope he makes another top tweet of the week.
Amp it up, Sammy. Come on. Righto. Good work, Travel. I reckon that's going to be the Friday or Thursday special, I think.
Whenever they're slowing you.
Right, Money Miners, let us know if you want more. Let us know. And if you think you are unfairly left off the list, please get in touch. And
give us your submissions.
Hear your take.
We're happy to be a mouthpiece to Twitter as long as it's good content.
Very much so. We could do a top. I reckon take this to 10 and we don't have to do research at all. Right. Okay. Now, yesterday we went over the metallurgical results for Gascoigne. We did a bit of a deep dive into gold processing. Thank you to our resident metallurgy expert, Mr. Agricola. I think I pronounced that right. I think it's Agricola, not Agricola, I think. Now, a couple of things I omitted and a little bit of mistakes, but from a non-met, I was given some pretty good scores. So now, yesterday we talked about free gold, free milling gold, refractory gold. So I think when I was talking about the gravity circuit,
it's not for free, right?
Not for free. Yeah. And you don't sell it for free either. I think I mentioned free milling gold in the gravity, but it's actually the stuff that goes into the gravity circuit, that's free gold that comes out of the gravity circuit. That's your free gold. Free milling gold is the stuff that responds to cyanide treatment, the CIL or the CIP. Then refractory gold is what doesn't respond to cyanide treatment. So free milling's what doesn't come out of gravity but goes into the cyanide. Refractory doesn't respond to cyanide. So just a bloody correction there. Now the difference between CIP and CIL, probably didn't talk about that because I mentioned them. So carbon, CIP is carbon impulp. It just means the where the adsorption of the gold happens after the gold is leached first, and CIL, which is carbon in leach, is where the cyanide leaching and carbon adsorption occur simultaneously. So the one I put up yesterday with the tanks, so you had the two big leach tanks with no carbon in it. I'm going out on a limb and saying that was a CIP circuit because it was getting mixed with the cyanide before the carbon was happening. So now the preg robbing. So Mr. Agricola confirmed a couple of these things for me. So preg robbing was when the carbonaceous material, the carbonaceous shale in the ore, fights against the activated carbon.
So fights against it?
Well, like it robs the gold. So the gold's not going onto the activated carbon. It actually starts going onto this carbonaceous material in the ore. So what happens is the activated carbon, that's added in, it's big enough that it doesn't pass through the screens inside the adsorption tanks. So only the fine material, which is the slurry, can move from tank to tank. The carbon caught in the screens gets pumped out separately from tank to tank, and that goes opposite direction to the slurry flow. But because the ore in the slurry has been crushed up so fine, so when there's this carbonaceous material like graphitic shales and stuff, that's the preg-robbing material. So the gold cyanide complex will attach to this carbonaceous material as well as also attaching to the activated carbon. And again, because it's so fine, it's been crushed up so fine, it won't get caught in the filters and will keep going through the cyanide circuit and end up going out to the tailings dam. So when you've got ores that have this preg-robbing material, you might have recoveries of, say, 80 to 90% in the first 12 hours. But if it remains in that cyanide circuit for 24 to, say, 48 hours, your recovery might actually drop to 50 to 60% because that fine shale is robbing the gold out of the cyanide solution.
Gotcha.
And back onto itself. And because it's fine, it's being treated as a fine piece of ore with no gold on it.
So leaving it in longer is worse for it. There's an optimal time that you have to figure out.
If you've got that material in there, because you end up just sending it out to the tailings dam as part of the fine slurry. So, and Trav, you were correct in what you said yesterday about KCGM being refractory, the super pit. So the ore, it is refractory, but it can be subjected to ultra fine grinding, as you said, and recover the gold that way. So the recovery isn't as much as it would have been when they had that Gidgee roaster. It was titled the Gidgee roaster, but when Newmont owned the asset, they made the choice to forego that extra recovery and use ultrafine grinding instead of a nasty roaster. So thank you, Mr. Agricola, for filling in those gaps. Head back and listen to the metallurgy spectacular.
Mate, it's amazing that the quantity of knowledge that sort of gets, you know, put our way when we talk about, you know, all of these facets of the mining industry. I'm learning that there are a lot of people who know a lot of stuff who are very willing to talk to us about it. And, mate, I appreciate that.
I do. And I don't know if there's an element of they feel sorry for me and they're like, this bloke really needs some bloody help, and it's like a bit of a charitable donation. But there are some very knowledgeable and passionate people out there that are so willing to help. And that is how this whole podcast has been dealt with over the years, been looked after by some good people. So, Mr. Agricola, thank you very much. Now, nickel, Trav.
Yes,
nickel.
Mate.
We're going deep into nickel today.
You have been at your computer like a year 12 before
and on
exams.
On the blower to me sources.
I've not seen you work this hard the entire time I've known you.
Mate, well, tell you what, if I'm going to put this out there, because I'm going out on a limb with a lot of this info, it's got to be close to bloody right. And I've been helped out again by a lot of people. So following on from our chats about, I guess, Poseidon, the Wyloo Mincor takeover thing and how that's going to work, like there was a couple of incorrect things I said. I seem to say a lot of bloody things incorrect these days, but anyway, that's when these people
get yourself afterwards. So.
Yeah, that's when people get in touch. But like understanding how this whole nickel landscape works around Western Australia, especially for the processing side and where it goes, I've gone right into it, I've gone deep, and I'm going to give it to you today.
What are you going to teach me, Matty?
Well, we're going to talk about... Verse me corrections, but we're going to talk about between Poseidon, Wyloo, Mincor, IGO, BHP, how is this all going to work now?
So all nickel sulfides.
All nickel sulfides in WA.
Gotcha.
Where are they going? How is it processed? Where the processing is
concentrated. Who are the players?
Are the players? And so you ready?
Oh, mate, I am.
Jesus Christ. Now, shout out to a new friend on the show. He's supplied us with some great information, which we're going, this is what I'm presenting today. A lot of it, but then I've expanded. This wasn't all from him. I want to stress that I've done shitloads myself too. Now, a nickel expert, Trav. I was thinking, what pseudonym can we give a nickel expert?
It's a tricky one.
Well, why not? And this was prompted by you when you mentioned nickel, Nickelback.
Well, you Googled famous nickel people and I Googled famous nickel and it just auto-filled on Google famous Nickelback songs.
Nickelback. So Chad Kroeger, the lead singer of Nickelback, our resident nickel expert, is being titled as Mr. Kroeger.
Mr. Kroeger.
Mr. Kroeger. God, how the Nickelback. Love a big, good bit of Nickelback.
Who said they weren't cool?
Okay. Now, first couple of corrections to the Poseidon episode. I said, talked about that talc carbonate saying it was powdery crap stuff. It's actually at the Poseidon, the talc carbonate is a solid rock. So I'm not sure of the strength of it, but it's not powder crap. Look, it's actually a solid rock.
Okay.
Okay. And then Poseidon have to blend some serpentinite with their talc material to improve recovery. They can't process it by itself.
Yep.
Whereas, and I'll get to the fact that it seems like Mount Keith are a bit different. So now, overview of concentrators, dryers, smelters and refineries. Okay. This is all the infrastructure that is in Western Australia.
Concentrated, dryer, smelter refinery. Do we work backwards or forwards?
No, so it starts at the concentrator, gets dried, gets smelted, gets refined.
Gotcha.
So now, where are all these? So BHP. BHP they've got a concentrator at Leinster.
Yeah.
3 million tonne per annum.
Yeah.
They've got their Mount Keith concentrator, 11.5 million tonne per annum, and that's currently being upgraded to 15 million tonne.
Wow.
So that's a whopper. Now, there's also the Kambalda concentrator, so that's what the Mincore ore is going through, which was essentially restarted for the Mincore ore.
But it's still owned by BHP?
Still owned by BHP.
Yeah.
It's only 700,000 tonne per annum, so it is tiny, very small compared to Leinster and Mount Keith. Now, the dryers. So for ore to go to the smelter, it has to be dried.
Gotcha. So, and it concentrate's wet.
So the wet, what comes out of these concentrators is titled as a wet con.
Yep.
And after the dryer, it's a dry con.
Gotcha.
So I don't think it goes to powder. There's some moisture content still in it, but it's not a slurry or anything. So now the wet, so you've got a dryer at Leinster.
Yep.
So wet con is trucked to Leinster from Mount Keith. So the Mount Keith ore concentrate, wet con, is trucked to Leinster.
Is it far away, Mount Keith to Leinster?
Nah.
Pretty close.
I can't exactly know. I think it's 50 to 100. Where's Leinster?
Yeah.
There. Maybe 100 something.
Yep.
Yeah. God, don't ask me too many questions here because I'm bloody. No. Remember that map of that Jawal.
Yeah.
Jawal tenant, like the Jawal Aboriginal area. So the Mount Keith was at the top of that and Leinster is at the bottom of it. Okay, so once that con is dried and blended at Leinster, so you've got the Mount Keith and the Leinster ore gets dried, blended together. That's then trucked to Leonora.
Yep.
And then that is then put on a train at Leonora, which then goes to the Kalgoorlie smelter.
Yeah.
So that dry con that goes to the smelter is about 15% nickel.
Mm.
So that's
already 15% by the time it gets there from.
Once it's after it's dried, it's 15%. I assume it's the wet stuff's 15%. But that once they blend Leinster and Mount Keith together, the concentrate, it's 15%.
When you grow up in Kalgoorlie, you always see this smelter and obviously it's always bloody going. You can see the smoke coming out of it. And the only thing you really ever hear about it is it's a horrible place to work. It's
we're not in cahoots with BHP recruitment, thank God.
Oh, yeah. Well, not necessarily like horrible in terms of working conditions, but it's just, it's hot. It's bloody, there's fumes around. It's just apparently not a fun place to work, It's probably safe. It's BHP, but yeah.
Yeah, of course it is. Now, you've also got a dryer at Kambalda. So you've got the Kambalda concentrator, you've got the dryer at Kambalda too. So that takes third party wet con, which will be, your IGO, like your Nova Forestonia, that gets dried there. And it obviously takes the wet con coming out of the Kambalda concentrator, which is the Mincore ore. So that's that dryer there. So they're the only dryers as well.
Mm.
Okay. So then you've got the Kalgoorlie smelter. That's the next stage of the process. Everything has to go through this smelter before it goes to the Kwinana refinery.
Gotcha.
So you can't send it straight to the refinery without going through the smelter. So the only smelting capacity in Australia for nickel is the BHP Kalgoorlie smelter.
Yeah. For nickel sulfide, laterites don't have to do this though,
right? No, because they've got their H-Power plant, so Murrumbun, Ravensthorpe. So that's for the nickel sulfides. But sulfides,
they all have to go via the smelter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so the smelter, that takes the dry con and smelts it to a 68% nickel matte.
Wow.
That's like a, it's like an intermediate product between when it gets to the refinery. So 68% matte is then railed to the Kwinana refinery. So that's just south of Perth for the non-Perthers. And that produces a nickel powder, nickel briquettes. They look like the briquettes look like a barbecue heat bead sort of thing.
Yeah. What percentage are they at that point?
I think that's like, I think it's 99.8, I think.
Yeah.
99.8. Gotcha. So now at the Kwinana refinery, they've also got the nickel sulfate plant, which then takes the powder briquette into a nickel sulfate, which is used for the battery metals industry.
Right. Is that even higher grade on top of that? Or
doesn't a nickel, to get it to that point, it has to be that four nines, like when it's like 99.99%.
Is that what the sulfate plant is.
So that takes the powder or briquettes and converts it into nickel sulfate, which is what is used for batteries. The thing is,
who owns the sulfate plant?
That's BHP.
So they've got the Kwinana refinery, and they've got the sulfate plant.
Yeah, I think it's all in the one area, to my knowledge. And they produced their first sulfate crystals in October 2021. Though Mr. Kroger has told me that not much nickel sulfate has been produced at Kwinana because the people buying the nickel powder or nickel briquettes overseas, they've already got the capacity themselves to convert the powder or briquettes into nickel sulfate. So why?
They just buy the briquettes.
Yeah. So why would they then pay BHP a premium for them to convert it into nickel sulfate when they can do it themselves? Yep. So there actually hasn't been much nickel sulfate produced.
That's interesting, right? Because you see a lot of this rhetoric in the mining industry where going downstream and you get more value capture. And I think, depending on the commodity market dynamics at play, that might have some truth, but you kind of need...
Depends who's buying it.
Yeah, and it just depends on the capacity that's overseas to be able to do it as well, right? Because in this case, you've got high available capacity overseas, so the value capture doesn't go to the downstream part there. But I'm just keen to see how this whole theme of going downstream plays out over the years because it's talked about as a way to capture value, but it might not be.
Yeah, and that fact there, the fact that who they're selling it to, the fact that they can do it themselves will, I guess, be a factor for the proposed IGO Wyloo-Pecan plan as well. So whether they partner up with an actual battery maker that will. So that's, yeah.
So tell me about that pecan plant.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Okay.
We'll get to that. So a pecan plant is purposely built to treat this nickel, a nickel concentrate.
Yeah.
And the pecan plant will contain like a POX plant at the front. So that will bypass the need for the Kalgoorlie smelter.
So you don't need to go through the smelter with a pecan plant?
No, because the pecan plant will have like a POX plant on the front of it, pressure oxidation.
Yeah.
Like, or a HPAL or something, but probably a POX, pressure oxidation, and that will treat the concentrate and get it. Then it will essentially do what the smelter's doing, get it into a mat and then take it into the pecan plant is a refinery specifically designed to get it to, precursor cathode active material, I think it stands for. Gotcha. So that it's purposely built to get it to that battery grade nickel.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so I'll get to that. So that's the big thing about where this pecan plant and what that PBT were trying to do at Kalgoorlie was to provide another means rather than the Kalgoorlie BHP smelter to treat that material, because everything has to go through that if they're going to get to that stage. So now I didn't know this till I found out. Fun history. They were planning to build a nickel sulfate plant in Esperance in 2017. Yeah, so there was Alpha Fine Chemicals. They had plans to build it, then scrapped it in 2018. So nickel sulfate plant would have been for the battery industry, which is what BHP have built. So in 2018,
I suppose Esperance, I can see that. I mean, it's because Nova would have been closer to
they'd ship it from.
Yeah, and then you just ship it straight out of the port there. Okay.
Yeah. So, but it got scrapped in 2018 due to community protests, and they chose to move it to Kwinana.
Yeah.
But it doesn't appear that it obviously didn't ever get built, and BHP built theirs at Kwinana instead. So I couldn't find any link between BHP and Alpha Fine Chemicals, but news goes quite a bit after 2018. But they seem to be, this Alpha Fine Chemicals seem to be focusing on building a sulfate plant in Thailand and Nickel Search, NIS. So they've become a strategic partner with them So anyway, that was a bit of a random rabbit hole I went down, Trav. But there was talk about one, but that didn't happen.
Very interesting.
Okay, so back to the Kalgoorlie smelter. Okay, we'll focus on that for a bit. This is where that the FEMGO ratio comes in, the iron MgO ratio. So apparently FEMGO is a new term. Mr. Kroger hadn't heard of FEMGO. They always referred to it as iron MgO ratio.
Oh, mate, you're teaching
him. I swear I heard someone say it, or maybe I've created it. I don't know.
I reckon I've heard it once.
Oh, I have.
But it might have been from you.
It might have been from me. Okay, so that Kalgoorlie smelter, that was built in the 70s. To process Kambalda-style ores with like FEMGO ratio of plus 12. So that Kambalda ore
is high grade.
Is high grade, which would give a high FEMGO ratio.
Yeah.
Like it's that good quality, high grade nickel sulfide. So the minimum that plant can run is a FEMGO of 5.
Okay. The whole smelter there.
Smelter.
The
FEMGO of what blend is going into that smelter of concentrate has to be a FEMGO of minimum 5.
Yeah.
Okay,
and they're filling the bulk of that with the like Mount Keith.
Yeah. So, Mount Keith
averages
about 1.5 for its FEMGO.
It's pretty low. It's a lot further behind that 5 than you need.
And Leinster is about average 5.
Yep.
So, right on the limit. But Mount Keith is the bulk of the ore. So that means they rely on that other feed. So a bit I missed here. So that when I talked about the FEMGO, the reason that ratio is important is the amount of iron, that's what maintains the high temperature in the smelter. And so if that iron ratio is too low, you get a lower smelting temperature and it affects the viscosity of the slag. So that's
right.
I think that's what causes the slag to build up in the smelter.
Yeah.
So, and that causes a lot of constant refurb. So that's what it's the iron to create that temperature in the smelter. So, the Mount Keith stuff. So they're the cheapest producer of nickel, like, cause it's a massive open pit, but it's not smeltable without the addition of that high FEMGO concentrates from Leinster and Nova, Western areas, which is Forrestonia with IGO now and the Mincor stuff. So all those feeds are critical for BHP to bring that FEMGO up to above 5 so they can smelt it at the moment. But Nickel West, they're scheduled to rebuild that smelter furnace in 2026. So and what they're doing there is they're rebuilding it so it can maintain changing the technology so they can maintain heat at a much lower FEMGO ratio.
Why would they rebuild it instead of doing the PCAM route? What's the benefit of if the future is this PCAM, is it just less CapEx to spend?
But I think the PCAM is specifically for battery.
Okay.
Batteries.
Gotcha.
Battery, nickel, battery grade nickel.
Gotcha.
Whereas then if you didn't – this smelter is so that to produce the briquette and the
sometimes
powder.
You need that in stainless steel as well.
Stainless steel uses the pig iron.
Oh, okay.
So that's it uses your laterites and stuff.
Yeah, okay.
So the powder and briquettes can be either sold to people that want to use it, then refine it further for nickel sulfate for batteries or the other uses of nickel as well.
Cool.
So I guess the main things will be battery and stainless steel.
Yeah.
But I would assume that they'll still need this route.
Yeah.
So I can't so accurately answer that one.
If it is stainless steel, obviously, like bloody a lot of BHP's existing exports being the iron ore is sort of for that industry as well. So maybe they're incentivized to provide all of the products for that. You know, same all of the commodities for that process.
Yeah, but so because to my knowledge, like in terms of what the nickel we produce in terms of global quantities is so low because most of it is produced for, I think 70% of nickel at the moment is for stainless steel, which all comes out of the laterite deposits around Indonesia and Philippines.
Yeah, okay.
So that class 2 nickel is converted into nickel pig iron, which is then what is used for stainless steel.
I'm sure one of our friends, the pod, will clarify my misunderstanding.
That's all right. As I said, don't ask me too many bloody questions, Trav. I might impress you, but. Okay, so that once they rebuild that in FY26, that will then be able to treat that Leinster and Mount Keith ore at a lower FEMGO ratio without relying on those third party. Like, it doesn't need that high FEMGO ratio. So that's in 2026. So Mount Keith feed is obviously the cheapest nickel they produce because it's such bulk tons. So it's getting to that smelter to the capacity to treat that low FEMGO. That's what they're up to. So now, as we said before, the key thing to understand is you can't send anything to that Kwinana refinery without it being smelted and being turned into a mat. So that Kalgoorlie smelter pretty much takes nearly everything. You've got the BHP or the Mincor or IGO's Nova and Forrestonia. There's currently no other smelting option. So you remember about Pure Battery Technology, the proposed PCAM plant in Kalgoorlie?
Yep.
They've just lost the one they lost the federal grant. Government yeah. grant for. Yep. Poseidon were partnering with them to supply them feed. So to my knowledge, the grant has been pulled because PBT haven't yet secured the feed for that project. So the government's pulled the grant. We can't give you all this money without yet having the feed secured to build this thing. So this doesn't mean it's been fully scrapped, which is probably what I thought initially.
Yeah.
It's just waiting on securing the feed. So like Poseidon haven't got to a final investment decision yet. So there's still a lot up in the air.
But that PCAM grant was probably awarded before you saw Wylo and IGO come out with their PCAM plans in Kwinana.
So exactly.
You probably don't need two PCAMs in the same state, do you?
I don't know. It'll depend on how much feed
it needs,
IGO and Wylo will be providing. Like, are they going to start securing other are they going to start looking at companies like Widgie Nickel and Lunnon around that Cambalda area to secure more feed for so there's a lot up in the air how much feed that because they've just secured the land. There's no study on what that
but it's a signal to the market that they're
exactly so where will that PBT be a thing or not, yet to be determined. So now this PCAM plant, that PBT, like that was, and then we discussed it before, there'll be a POX plan on the front of it. So the POX is what can process this talc carbonate material that is not suitable for smelting due to the low FEMGO ratio. So that's the disseminated material in the pit at Poseidon. Mount Keith, 20% of their ore is talc carbonate material. So lots of tons, but lower grade. So, and what I said in the Poseidon thing, so you don't need just high pressure acid leaching or POX to process this talc material. So talc, you can process it to a concentrate via flotation.
Okay.
As I said, over 20% of Mount Keith ore is talc and it's processed at the Mount Keith concentrator.
Do they just need to blend it with other stuff?
It needs a different flow sheet to the non-talc ore.
Oh, okay.
So they, like, because it consumes a lot of acid and guar. Guar, I think that's a flocculant or something that floats it.
Yeah.
So it's like the supply of acid is a constraint.
Yeah.
And at Mount Keith, from what I've been told, they can't mix the talc and the non-talc together.
They can't process it together.
So it destroys the recovery and increases the processing cost. So they campaign process their talc material in separately to the non-talc.
Yeah.
So they rely on blending that low FEMGO talc material with the high FEMGO of the other sources to bring that whole Kalgoorlie smelter blend up to that required ratio. So up to where I'm at. So in its current state, this cow, like that Kalgoorlie smelter, it has to have the higher feed, the higher FEMGO feed from all the other sources in its current state. But remember, it's getting rebuilt in 2026.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how Mount Keith processed their talc stuff. Whereas I know Poseidon were talking about partnering, so they didn't have to go through the BHP side of things. They were going to use a POX. So now let's look at IGO. So what infrastructure do IGO have? Now, remember, IGO and Wylo are in cahoots here. So they've got the Nova concentrator.
Yeah.
They've got the Forrestonia concentrator.
Yep.
And they're currently refurbing and upgrading the Cosmos concentrator. So that's for their Odysseus mine.
Yep.
So they've got three concentrators. Where does their ore go? So IGO, they've got Trafigura market 50% of their Nova ore. So they sell that as a premium clean con.
So after it goes through the concentrator,
Trafigura take 50%.
Okay.
So they signed
and they don't even have to dry it. They just
No, I'd say it has to be dried.
Okay.
I would assume it has to be dried.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if they market a wet con or a clean con. Don't know that bit. Someone tell me that if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Now the other 50% goes to the BHP Kalgoorlie smelter. So it gets dried at Kambalda. Goes to BHP. So they secured that offtake in November 2019, that 50-50, and Trafigura also take 100% of their copper concentrate from Nova.
Okay.
Okay, but that the Trafigura offtake was for 3 years.
Yeah.
And the BHP offtake was for 5 years. So that means that Trafigura...
There's a bit coming off.
So that Trafigura offtake agreement is coming to an end soon.
Wow.
But there obviously needs to be a new deal for 50% of their Nova nickel concentrate.
Wow.
So
they're pretty strategically relevant.
Okay, so where does Wyloo now come into this?
How many years of mine life are left at Nova?
I think it's 5.5 years. So I think it was 5.5 years at the end of 2021, life left at Nova. And I think they had 7 million tonne in reserve underground and 11 million tonne in resource. So you would think they will get a bit more than 5.5 years.
Right. That was from the end of 2021.
End of 2021. Their current mine plan, mine life was 5.5 years. So that'd take them to, 2027?
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So there is...
Call it 5 years from now, including a bit of extra conversion of the resource. Yeah.
Yeah. So what are we now? 2023, if that's coming in soon. So they've possibly got another 4 years of offtake for their nickel. And copper, because I think the copper one's ending as well. So another 4 years of offtake to sort out.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess where does Wyloo come into this? So we've said IGO and Wyloo have secured land in Kwinana to build that PCAM plant. Now I'm assuming this PCAM plant will contain some sort of POX plant at the front, because they'll be able to use that to process the concentrate into a mat, which bypasses the BHP smelter. So... And as I said, BHP have the only option for smelting nickel sulfides currently. So once Wyloo take Mincor, I don't think they'll be going through that Kambalda concentrator anymore, because BHP owns it.
Yeah, and the PCAM doesn't need it smelted. Like you said, it just needs to be concentrated.
Yeah, but it's still a while away from being built.
PCAM.
Yeah, so gotcha. Because BHP own that concentrator, it doesn't appear that... BHP and Wyloo are friends, I don't think. After you go the old North American takeover battle, I don't think Twiggy and BHP are mates. So probably you wouldn't think so after all the competition in the Pilbara iron ore in history. I don't think they're definitely not in cahoots together. So
I mean, Wyloo's, kind of. The Noront thing's just a rounding error to BHP. I'm sure it's not a huge thing, but yeah.
But do you think once Wyloo take Mincor, I don't think they'll go through that BHP concentrator.
Well, they might have to for a while until the PCAM's built, right?
Well, not really, because
why?
Well, you've got because Wyloo got the JV agreement and everything with IGO, so then that brings into play for them the Nova concentrator, the Forrestonia concentrator, so they could actually send that. Mincor ore to them to concentrate.
But like you still want that concentrate to go through the BHP smelter until there's a destination for it at the PCAM. Otherwise it's just, foregone revenue, right? You wouldn't just stockpile it.
Yeah, but that Mincor, the IGO stuff's going to, and this will depend on what offtake they sort out.
Yeah.
Because this new offtake agreement,
yeah,
they could then include the Mincor ore with the IGO stuff and sell that through that concentrate agreement.
Yeah.
Because they can sell it as a concentrate. They don't have to send it to BHP for them to refine it. They can just sell it, put it into that premium clean con.
Right.
But depending on the arsenic levels and everything, because they did have the arsenic ore. So they're not locked into using that Kambalda concentrator and going through BHP.
There is an off-take agreement between Mincor in BHP.
So it's, that's five. Yeah, that's 5 years.
Gotcha. So what you're saying is after that 5 years.
Well, that's not. But remember, the Nova ore offtake is ending very soon.
Yeah.
So they'll need to make a new offtake agreement with someone or continue it with Trafigura. So will then the Mincor ore, the Wyloo feed, will they then go into that selling a concentrate with IGO while they wait for this PCAM plant? So that's an option. They're not locked in to go through BHP, and I don't think Wyloo will go through that BHP Kambalda concentrator.
Right. Okay.
That's a prediction.
Are they allowed to just stop sending it there though? Because aren't they have they got any obligation in their offtake agreement to deliver?
Was there a timeline on that Mincor BHP agreement?
So we just had a look at it, didn't we, Matty?
Mm.
We had to Google it.
Yeah, we did a Google there. So that agreement between Mincor and BHP, it says it's for a minimum of 200,000 tonne and up to 600,000 tonnes of nickel sulfide, but you've found that they have the right to deliver it.
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like there's an obligation to deliver it to BHP. So it sounds like that agreement could be...
Yeah, I'm not sure. It is
not terminated, or just not. They've got the right to deliver it to them.
Yeah, this offtake agreement is goes through until 31 December 2025, and if you just do a control F inside the target statement that Mincor have released on the platform, the wording I'm reading is they have the right to deliver it. So I don't know what their obligations are.
Once Wyloo take control, they could effectively say we don't want to process it. And
I'm not sure. You'd have to read the actual. Like offtake agreement in order to find out, but we don't have the full offtake agreement on hand. But it depends. What are the termination rights of that offtake agreement? Do you have to terminate the whole offtake agreement, or can you just not deliver the ore because you have the right but not the obligation? Someone might be able to correct my understanding, but I just did a quick control F and I can't see the wording obligation. So I'm just
and you wouldn't think BHP would be like it's a. Integral to their business to be running this Kambalda concentrator, because it sounds like it's an old concentrator. It's a small thing. I don't think it phases them either way if they're running it, because they're running it for Mincor.
Gotcha.
But they are running it for Mincor's ore to get that higher grade quality feed for their smelter. So it probably is in their interest. They need to run it to get that.
Yeah.
But with the refurb coming up in 2026, long term, they probably don't need to. So I'm sure they've thought about all this. So now there appears to be that interesting few years coming up. So whether you call it a gap in that processing, so because if you look at what BHP need the high FEMGO material for the Kalgoorlie smelter, which comes from IGO and Mincor, because they're not upgrading until 2026. The offtake deal is for 5 years with IGO for their concentrate from Nova. So that lines up with that 2026 refurb. So they've got IGO's, the Nova ore secured for that. I think that ends. So if Trafigura is ending soon, that'll be ending near end of 2025. So then you've got IGO and Wyloo planning to build that PCAM plant, which is still years away if it gets approved. And so until that gets built, they still need to either deal with BHP's Kalgoorlie smelter, so the what's not under that contract with the Nova ore, or they have to sell it as a concentrate, which what is IGO currently doing with their Nova ore. So it looks like it's all lining up around that 2026 where IGO and Wyloo, pending they all get into cahoots together, will, I guess, separate from dealing with BHP at all. The BHP will be able to process their low FEMGO, Mount Keith and Leinster stuff at the Kalgoorlie smelter without depending on their feed, because that'll line up with that upgrade.
But so some of the stuff that, like IGO, they've got is it Forrestania and Cosmos as well?
Yeah, but Forrestania is ending soon.
Yeah.
That's only got a couple of years
left. Is Cosmos contracted? So, like, is that, like, are there any obligations on the ore there to go into the BHP smelter for a period of time?
I don't think, to my knowledge, I don't know if that's been sorted yet, where the Cosmos ore is going.
I reckon it could be.
Because it's being refurbed and the mine's being developed and everything at the moment.
Yeah.
But I don't think the offtake has been sorted out for that. That's the information I was given.
All right.
Have you heard different?
I've barely done any nickel work my entire life. I'm making most of my stuff
but
up.
But usually stuff you say I trust a lot more than what comes out of my mouth. So,
well, I just didn't think there was much uncontracted nickel out there. So, yeah, my gut feel was it was contracted, but it's literally just a gut feel.
Yeah. If anyone knows that one, let us know. Okay, so where does this leave Poseidon? So we did talk about Poseidon. So they're still waiting on the final investment decision and also the study on mining their disseminated low-grade surface material that contains the talc carbonate. So let's think if Poseidon do go ahead and mine that talc carbonate material, they can still make a low-femgo concentrate using that disseminated material. They could just sell that as a concentrate. You'd get a lower payability because of the low femgo and the lower nickel grade. But if they were going to sell that as a low femgo concentrate, they'd truck it to Esperance, and where it'd get shipped to whoever the buyer is. But Trav, if they're driving to Esperance and they're trucking it, where would they be driving right past?
Well, Campbell's on the way. You got bloody Norseman on the way.
What else?
Nova?
Ravensthorpe.
Oh.
So we were talking about the other day.
Ravensthorpe's not on the way.
It's on the way to, on the way to Esperance. It's in there.
Nearby, but
if you're going to truck it, if they're going to truck a concentrate to Esperance, that's where it probably brings that Ravensthorpe HPAL into play, that they'd just truck it there and then run it through that to then process it.
I think Ravy's one hour west of Esperance.
Yeah. So it's that, and I know we said, Murrumurrum probably makes more sense, but if they're trucking it to get shipped from Esperance, Ravensthorpe probably makes the best sense. So whether that is part of their plan.
Right.
So probably one to keep watch on.
Ooh.
So I'd
what's your theory?
Well, I think Ravensthorpe sounds like one of the ones they'd be most likely dealing with the most. Closest in time that would line up and make sense rather than relying on waiting for that PCAM plant. Or will PBT come into it? You wouldn't think that just the Poseidon feed would be enough to justify making that PBT plant or giving that grant back. They'd probably have to secure some other feed. So it depends, and it all depends on why Lou and IG are going to commit to the one in Kwinana, or would it make more sense to build that one in Kalgoorlie?
Who knows? I'd be intrigued to know if there's enough room for two of them. Yeah, sort of. Maybe there's only room for one.
Yeah. So Trav, there you go.
Well, mate, I'm bloody intrigued. I think the big question mark on my
head. What did you take from that and my bloody all over the shop description of it all?
It probably becomes a bit more apparent how strategically relevant all of these other feed options are to BHP, because BHP, they've got this big infrastructure and this big pipeline and this commitment to all of these bloody bricks that they're popping out. But in order to make it all work, you need this femgo ratio, and that depends on the other ore, not their big bulk sources of ore. So, and then if you've also got at the same time as that, what looks to be an alignment between IGO and Wyloo for the potential for that ore to go via a different processing avenue, then what does that mean for BHP, right? It definitely highlights the strategic relevance of some of these junior but high grade sort of ore sources in the context of it all.
Yeah, so I guess news to watch out for is IGO's offtake. Where they're going to be sending their con once this Trafigura one expires, which is pretty soon by the sounds, and also what Wyloo is going to try and get for feed sources other than what they're acquiring through Mincor. So does that bring a lot of other players in that Kambalda district into play for Wyloo M&A?
And the other thing I'd love the money miners to add something to the insight on our show is just – who has really good nickel market insight? Okay, because there's two very different views in the market on nickel. There's the bloody really bearish view that that you've got all of this, you know, HPAL coming online in Indonesia, and even though it's laterite, they figured it out, it's low cost and it's going to, you know, tank the whole market forever. And then you've got the other view that, you know, there's going to be two different markets. One
prior to pricing streams. Yeah.
And I have no real good insight there, but I'd love to talk to someone who really knows this market well.
And you need, because if you talk to an MD of a nickel sulfide company compared to one that's an MD of a nickel laterite company, I think you'll get two completely different bloody opinions.
I would love to talk to a commodity trader.
Yeah. Get in touch. Mate, we got a bit of a recap, Trav?
We do. Yeah, we do.
Mate, Jesus Christ, there's a bit going on yesterday. So Gascoigne come out with updated MET results today. I think it just looks like they added the jork thing at the back there. So.
Yeah, we spent 30 minutes talking about it. Oh, now they're bloody making us look silly.
Yeah, no. Now they've dropped their fees for non-executive directors. This would be right up your alley of likeness, Trav.
Good stuff. I like it. They're not a producer anymore.
Yeah,
so they're reducing fees.
The NED fees, I think, went from, I think, 120 grand to 70. 120, yep. Geez, you wouldn't mind being NED there. Hey,
would have been pretty hard for a while there, like just with the administration process.
Yeah,
it actually would have been demanding on them. But, yeah, no, it's good to see directors agree to reduce their fees.
Well, hey, Simon Lawson, I've got an MBA and a pretty good resume, mate. If you need a NED, let us know, mate. I'll take 70 Gs off you. Now, developer put out an updated mineral resource at Sulphur Springs to pave the way for an updated reserve and feasibility study for their project in the Pilbara. But the updated resource, it was changing some of the transitional ore into fresh ore.
Yeah.
There wasn't any and it actually went into a pause in trading regarding this announcement. Yep. So when the pause in trading come up without any context, I'm like, oh,
what's happening?
I started spreading rumors that they've bought mines and stuff, but it doesn't appear that it's happened. So
no.
Bill, if you get a call, I'm probably sorry I started a rumor.
Well, they're not out of trading halt yet. So
no, it's still a put, but it's but then clarify the context of what that pause in trading was released, saying it was to do with this
the prior announcement. Yeah.
So the only thing I could think of, I won't spitball ideas, but because the tonnage, that what was depleted and what was added was slightly different, like in a small amount of tons, but I would assume that's because the fresh rock ore has a higher specific gravity than the transitional ore. So that's why the tonnage was different. So nothing was added.
You could be a jork listing rules specialist.
Yeah, my understanding with this, Trav, is the oxide material, there's a processing flow sheet for that. There's a processing flow sheet for the fresh ore, but the transitional ore is the difficult stuff to process because it's a bit in between. So the fact that they've classified more in the fresh means it's better for the economics of the project.
Yep.
So that was what that was to do with. Wailoo, they've edged higher. 75% they're at for Mincor.
They've got a month left. Well, till the 5th of July.
Now, Trav, because a lot of this, and we talked about it, a lot of the stuff that they're trying to get hold of, we've been informed, is stuck in index funds. And then a lot of these index funds have to hold this stock because they're in the ASX 300 and stuff. So it's trying to get the shares off those funds, index funds.
We posed the question, who hasn't accepted the offer given all the risks that have been put out to the market and
so
stuff.
I think they're kind of stuck in a bit of no man's land because these funds have to hold them and then they're not proactive in letting them go because they know they're going to lose it anyway. So that's where a lot of that remaining 15% is going to have to come from.
One to watch. Yeah, they're trying to get to 90 before the 5th of July, so we'll keep watching that one.
Right. Annex Metals received project works approval for their Wim Creek mine, covering the concentrator and in-pit TSF. So De Mere's assessment of Stage 2 mining proposal is well advanced and its approval will be the final major regulatory approval for Wim Creek.
Mm-hmm.
So, and 29 Metals have their AGM today, and this quote from the chair, Owen Hegarty, is interesting.
Yep.
Trav, read her out.
Yeah, so the bit that I found interesting in the chair address was, there's a lot of uncertainty in the market currently, which I believe is reflective of the recent events and strongly reflected in the share price of the company. We all want to see a healthy share price. And the board and management know what we must focus on, delivery. So delivery against the operating plan, the budget, including the recovery, delivery against the key performance drivers for 2023, delivery against our sustainability and ESG objectives, and delivery for our shareholders. Interesting one. Yeah, their share price has come off a lot since they've provided a bit more guidance to the market around Capricorn Copper. It's a pretty horrible one to just be following because of the rainfall event. And there was a tweet that caught my eye in relation to it.
Are you going to ask Chuck Chunder to be the best man at your wedding, Trav?
I want him to come on the pod, but I think he's too scared to put his voice out.
We'll put an anonymous voice muffler on your Chucky.
The invite remains open. Didn't include this tweet in the Tweets of the Week segment, but I did see Chucky say this one. He goes, the previous owner, Aditya Birla, experienced...
Aditya Birla.
I've never heard that.
Yeah, they own Nifty and Capricorn Copper.
He goes, the previous owner, they experienced similar flooding / water containment problems, so no lessons learned from the past by 29M. Was this a case of placing profits before capital investment? I didn't know that prior history. I'm going to have to look into it now.
Oh, Aditya Birla, they made an absolute balls up of Nifty. They just took all the high grade and then didn't fill it, went cheap on the paste plant just couldn't fill all these open stopes and ended up having self-mining holes come out in the surface and just, bloody no good.
Yeah. Nifty's an interesting one. It's in Cyprium's hands now. They've had some interesting corporate updates.
Well, it's an interesting story there because apparently they got offered 2 quotes to build the paste plant. The most expensive one, which I reckon could have been GR Engineering, or can't quote me on that, but they went the cheaper route to save a bloody not many millions of dollars, and it just never worked.
It was just back in the day.
Back in early days of Nifty.
Yeah.
And because it was a massive high-grade copper mine and massive ore body, and they just, because they couldn't fill the stopes, they just kept taking stopes out everywhere and didn't fill them and then started having ground failures, self-mined to the surface in one stage. Yeah.
It's a pretty tough one, that one.
There you go. Galena, they provide a ramp-up update for the month of May to the market. 100,000 tonne milled for 6,400 tonne concentrate. Second shipment completed. So is that a bit of a positive, Trav?
I don't know. It's a pretty detailed light announcement. You probably want a bit more colour than that, but at least they're providing something.
At least they got a shipment away. I think that's a big thing for them. Righto. Yep. JD would be absolutely crucifying us because we're going over doing this time thing. But, hey, mate, you want to get detailed info, we've got to put the time in.
Good work, mate.
Cheers, Money Miners. Any additions or corrections to the nickel info, please get in touch. We're all ears. I'm all ears. I'm putting myself out there a bit too much, I think.
Beautiful.
Righto, Money Miners. Hoodaroo.
Hoodaroo.
The information contained in this episode of Money of Mine is of general nature only and does not take into account the objectives, financial situation, or needs of any particular person. Before making any investment decision, you should consult with your financial advisor and consider how appropriate the advice is to your objectives, financial situation, and needs.